At that time there shall arise Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. There are only 34 weeks in our liturgical calendar, which means that this is the second to last, and next week will be the last week. And traditionally we close our liturgical calendar with the Feast of Christ the King. After that we begin another liturgical year with Advent. So the readings for this time of the year, at the close of the liturgical year, deals with endings. The ending of the world, the ending of the universe, the coming of the Son of Man on clouds, the second coming of Christ. And so naturally, these readings deal with ominous subject matter. What's going to happen? When will it happen? Well, we don't know that. Huh? Jesus tells us plainly, you will not know the day nor the hour. Neither the angels nor the Son. Only the Father knows when the time will be for the Son of Man to return. The early church thought that they were living through the final days, the end times, because there was great persecution, great martyrdom. Catholic Christians were being thrown literally to lions for sport to the pagans. They were being crucified. Some even were covered with pitch and lighted on fire so the emperor could have a chariot game at night. This is pagan thinking, huh? Perverse. So naturally enough, they thought, well, this is the end time. Jesus is coming soon. But St. Peter writes in his second letter that one day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. Basically, we don't know God's time. God is beyond time. When the year 1,000 came, many Catholic Christians thought, well, surely the Lord will come after 1,000 years of Christianity. There was great religious fervor, but that didn't happen. But every age has seen tribulations, some greater, some less. It takes different forms. For example, 500 years ago in England, after 1,000 years of Catholic Christianity, England became Protestant. The king wanted to divorce his wife of 20 years, and the Catholic Church said no. But virtually everybody in England went along with him, except for two prominent people, Bishop Fisher and the king's own chancellor, Sir Thomas More. He wasn't going to go along with that. He said, no, this is immoral. But he kept that to himself. He just quietly resigned from his office as being second in charge of the country. But King Henry would have none of it. He wanted him to say something in favor of the divorce. So he put him in prison for many years. And finally, they got somebody to perjure himself, saying that Henry, or Sir Thomas More, did go along with the Queen being divorced, and he didn't. So he had his head chopped off because of that. He gave good witness. It is said his silence bellowed throughout Europe. 1937, Germany. A newly elected government, democratically elected Hitler as the head of the National Socialist Party, the Nazis. And they started talking in a way that was never talked about before. They talked about themselves being superior to every other race, but the Aryan race was the best. But they also talked about other races being subhuman. And if somebody is subhuman, you don't have to treat them in a human way. Well, the ambassador from the Vatican was in Germany, and he was listening to this. He said, "This is wrong." So he went back to Pope Pius XI, informed him what was going on, and Pope Pius XI wrote a special encyclical for Germany. He wrote it in German so there would be no time wasted in translating it. And then he had that letter read out at all the masses on Palm Sunday, 1937. It's called, in German, Mit Brenner Sorg. And the Pope condemns that ideology of superiority, condemns the ideology that one race is better than another, that we have to treat them according to the natural law. Of course, the Nazis were incensed. They were upset. They tried to stop the letter from being disseminated. And eventually, we know, they went on to carry out that ideology. And they killed upwards to 6 million Jews, 5 million others, the gypsies, Catholic priests and nuns died by the tens of thousands. I'm reminded of this because Pope Benedict, 2 years ago, went back to his home country of Germany, and he had an opportunity to preach, to talk to the parliament, and he boldly reminded the German people of their past history, that when you forsake the natural law, you get all kinds of evils coming in. And then he also reminded them that in their new constitution after World War II, that one of the first six things they did, they put in their constitution a protection, a defense of the natural law. And he said other states should be doing this too. Because the natural law affects us all, and it puts us all on an equal basis. Our own country has it in part in the Declaration of Independence, that we get our rights not from the state, but from nature and nature's God. That's the natural law right there. But when we look around to our own times, we see the natural law being forsaken. These are the signs of our times. We can see simply, perhaps, by the 3,000 abortions that take place every day. Just in the United States, doctors who take an oath to first do no harm are killing babies. This is our society. We see the natural law being attacked in other ways. In the recent election, three states have now allowed for homosexual same-sex marriages, even though they know that under President Clinton and the Congress, they signed a special act defending marriage between a man and a woman. It's called the Defense of Marriage Act. When President Obama became president 4 years ago, he told the Justice Department not to defend that act. So now we have three states who are in violation of federal law. Two states voted in favor of marijuana, also in violation of federal law. How this is going to work out, I don't know, between the federal government and the states. But we have this perversity spreading through our land. There was a young lady, 30 years old, this past August in Canada, and on her wedding day, she drowned. Tragically. She drowned in the Quebec River. What was more tragic was that she was doing something that young people are starting to do on their wedding days. The brides are doing something called trashing their wedding dress. and having people videotaping them doing it. So she was rolling around in the mud in the Quebec River and went into the river and drowned. This is perverse thinking. St. Paul warns us, if the end times come, people will call good evil and evil good. We live in those times. Does it mean Jesus is coming now? Oh, I don't know. All I can do is point to the signs of the times. This past week, the United Parcel Service, after many years of supporting the Boy Scouts with donations, has told them that they will no longer support them financially. The reason being is that the Boy Scouts are determined not to accept open homosexuals as scoutmasters, which is a good thing. So UPS has a new policy. They will not support anyone that has exclusive guidelines. I emailed them my protest. They got an email back from them very quickly. It just simply says, this is our new policy. Now it's a free country. They can do with whatever they want with their money. Go FedEx. But I emailed my friends, I forwarded their response to my priest friends, and I speculated, how long will it be before UPS will not deliver to Catholic churches? Will it happen? I don't know. 11 days before his re-election, President Obama signed an executive order. He signed a lot of these, by the way. This one is rather troubling. It gives Homeland Security avenues of communication and avenues of control over state, county, and local police. There's a special commission that has been set up from the executive branch of the different committees. Nobody from the House of Representatives or from the Senate is on this committee. At first blush, it sounds like a good thing, huh? I'm going to fight terrorism, right? But on deeper reflection, what could this lead to? A nationalization of our police force. This is ominous signs. They're the signs that we have to look for. But all ages at one time or another have had bad things happen. In fact, Jesus tells us plainly, if you are my follower, you will be persecuted too because of my name. So generation after generation has looked to Jesus and to receive from Jesus strength to make a good witness, to face persecution, to face evil, and to call evil what it is by name. We have in the Mass the very body and blood of Jesus. This is why he gives it to us, to strengthen us. It shouldn't be just some ritual that we pass off. Well, I think I'll go to Sunday Mass this Sunday, but not next. Oh, no. We need him, the superabundant food, as one translation of the Our Father says, to firm up our resolve, to give good witness, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and the Church into all truth. So as we continue with this Mass, we continue closing out this liturgical year. We are mindful that we are in a special year of grace, the year of faith. Our Holy Father is asking Catholic Christians to get back to their foundations, to realize that they have to make a commitment to Christ. And that means to say no to the world, to the darkness that is in the world, to be different in a good way, to be a saint. Remember, Jesus said to the apostles, he's saying that to us, that they will hate you because of me. But take courage. I have overcome the world.